On this episode of the Board Games and Beer Podcast,
Vel and Morgan dive into our happenings of the past several weeks and give some gift idea games along with stocking stuffers.
We dive into the calendar and see what may be happening in the board gaming world, including plenty of con talk.
We look at what is in the pipeline, what is ongoing, ending, and what to spend our money on, mainly mine, I think.
We look at the beer of the episode. It might just rumble loudly, stomp around, and look for a meal as I continue to throw Vel under the Bouldermobile in our beer game.
We go back into the vault in a time machine to hunt terrible lizards.
That and much more on this episode of the Board Games and Beer Podcast.
Welcome. You're listening to the Board Games and Beer Podcast. Welcome back to the Board Games and Beer Podcast, episode 16. I am your host, Vel, and joining me once again is my lovely co-host, Morgan. Morgan, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Well, it sounds like you're over your little
crap.
Cold that, yeah, mm-hmm. that you're whatever you had there for a while, mm-hmm. so that wasn't good. That's one of the reasons, ladies and gentlemen, we were a little delayed on our podcast. Not good when one of us is on here coughing and hacking, I guess, right?
Yeah, it kind of leaves the other one to talk to themselves, and we all know that, you know, we do that enough, and it just makes us feel crazy.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. So, anyway, I want to mention that our theme was conducted by the astonishing Andrew Allen, who can be found at Keys with Soul. So, Morgan, as we kind of roll in, getting ready to roll into the holiday here, this will probably be our last episode before the year ends out. We've got something a little different that we're going to do today instead of our usual interview, ladies and gents, so we're not going to have that, but we've got something else we're going to throw in there for you. We'll maybe help you out the last second Christmas shoppers that are stuck trying to get something for your gamer friends out there or whatever. So anyway, Morgan, so what's been happening to you gaming-wise the last time we spoke game-wise and so on?
Let's see here. Got a couple of Kickstarters.
Okay, sweet. And what would those be?
I got The Ancient World right before I got sick, so it's not even like out of the shipping box. Like, I opened up the box, mm-hmm. and I saw what it was, and I went to bed that night, and I mm-hmm. woke up, like, dead to the world.
Right.
It's sitting over there. It's lovely, but I just haven't gotten it to the table yet.
Right.
And then, of course, as I was very excited to get, and I've been crying and whining and complaining about this for months.
Mm-hmm.
I finally got Yardmaster and mm-hmm. Yardmaster Express. Not that it was delayed, guys. Crash did a great job of keeping us updated, and Patrick's awesome and a very sweet guy. And it's pretty much on time, as I recall, but mm-hmm. just, I wanted those games now!
Exactly.
And so I finally have them.
So you can get off your phone now.
Mm-hmm.
As I keep telling you. So, but you still haven't played it yet, have you?
Haven't gotten it to the table yet, no.
Pretty funny. You want it so bad, and it's still sitting in the box.
Well, no, to be fair, it's not sitting in the box. I unboxed mine and ooh, the pretties, pet, 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 pet. And then,
there you go. Well, that's good, because I'd be really concerned if you hadn't even opened up the box yet
mm-hmm.
and taken a look at that. So, yeah, awesome. So what else? So what have you, anything you've been playing here that you might want to talk about that's kind of fun? Anything new or kind of some of the old stuff that you're still into? Or, I mean, is the Machi Koro thing still big in your list, or?
Still in love with Machi Koro.
Okay.
I'm going to redact the name of this game for right now. I went over and I hung out with Lauren and Jamie the other night, and mm-hmm. We played a game that's on Kickstarter now that I really like it.
Mm-hmm.
I do. But I feel like it's about 9 months from when it actually should be on Kickstarter.
Right.
I don't think it's going to make it, so I'm not going to mention the name of the game, but I will be very excited about this if and when it comes back around. The best way to describe it, if you laid out a game like Mother or Earthbound into a board game, you'd have this game. It's a semi-co-op. It's really neat. They had some really cute concepts,
mm-hmm.
but it just kind of mechanically needs some work.
Right, right.
And I feel like they kind of fell off their theme a bit. So hopefully next time around it'll come back. I'll be very excited for it when it does. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I did get that. Did get to play that. Got something to the table anyway. So.
Okay. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cool beans.
What about you? What have you been up to?
Oh, boy. I'm going to be a little winded here because I got a bunch of stuff that's kind of happened. Well, the same thing with me. Well, I guess we'll start the Kickstarter thing since you mentioned the same.
I brought that up. Mm-hmm.
Yep, you brought that up. So you started the train going down the rails that way, no pun intended there. But, yeah, I got my copy of Yardmaster. I have played it. I haven't played my copy. Now that I have some time off, that will definitely be one that I'll be diving into for sure. Matter of fact, I know we'll talk about it in the next segment, but we've got a game designers discussion thing that we're going to do a little bit earlier coming this week because Christmas is going to fall the day that we normally do that. And I know Steven will be there, so maybe we'll break that up and play that again. So I got that. I got Waggle Dance, which I brought to the table a few times. I really like that. I think you'd really like this. You know, worker placement, you know, game with dice, mm-hmm. and you're essentially building a beehive, and you're trying to create honey, and then you roll dice, and you have to place them, you know, on there's all these different placing places you can get different things. Get more dice, ways to make the honey, gather nectar, and all these different things. You know, a couple of spots are open. Everybody can put their dice in there. And then some of them have limited slots, and it's kind of divided into two phases, a day phase where you place all the dice, and then a night phase when you carry out all the actions. And then the game's kind of neat because what it does, what I thought was what's kind of clever in there, is that it actually's got some settings and, you know, some stuff in there where depending on how many things of honey that you make kind of can determine how long the game can be, which I think is really cool. I kind of like that. Like you want to get people to maybe get the gist of it. Maybe they don't have a lot of time. So if you want to play a little quicker, you can do that one. If you want to play it longer, they have that and that option in there too. Kind of an interesting mechanic. But I really like that. I think that one's kind of neat and it's fun. It's really easy to teach too. It's like I said, we won't be doing that, you know, on the segment, but want like a good starter game. I think that would be a good, like, worker placement introductory one. I think this would be a good
awesome.
One. Really like it. And I kind of like the theme, you know, the bees and stuff is kind of fun. And like I said, the few times I played it, everybody really likes it. So it's gotten a lot of really good feedback. So anyway, so I've got that. I got my dungeon dice, came in, but I have not brought that to the table yet, but I'm like super stoked. As a matter of fact, we do have something going today, so I'm hoping I can jam that down somebody's throats today. And it just, that one seems, you know, I didn't realize when I got the Kickstarter one that I got, you know, yeah, we got all the bonus dice and everything, but they got all these expansions that go with it. But what's cool, like in the rule book, they have all that stuff in there. So I'm like looking through my bag of stuff. I'm going, I got stuff missing. But then I went back and looked at the Kickstarter and went, no, this is what you were supposed to have. And I was like, oh, I should have got that other stuff because this other stuff makes it even cooler. You know, it's got a gazillion dice with it. But I think it's kind of neat. It's kind of got a kind of a dungeon crawl. Everybody's a hero and you're fighting monsters, but then you get all this equipment. But it's got this neat negotiation thing. It's kind of a Munchkin style thing, but I like this a little better where you can invite people to help you, you know, fight stuff. But then when you go to negotiate, you can do it any way you want, which is really cool. They leave it really open as to the negotiating part. But what I like is you have to roll a dice. So you can say, well, okay, you're going to help me kill this guy, but on a roll of 1 to 4, I get the stuff, and a 5 or 6, you get it. So you guys have to you do the negotiation that way, which I think is kind of interesting. So it's not like a guarantee, like Munchkin can go, well, I'll do it for, you know, a piece of, you know, for treasure or something, or half the treasure. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't work that way. So I thought that was really cool. No, it looks really neat. I mean, it's a 2 to 4 player. I actually had to go research that. So one of the things that was in the rule book that was kind of odd to me. That wasn't like, how many people is it for? And then there's like a 5 player expansion, and they got potions and all this, and I want to get all this stuff now. you know, after I've looked at it. So, and it comes in this big, really cool, like, felt bag with a really cool logo on the front, and it comes with these really nice bags to put all the dice in, because that's what you do. You have to reach into these bags to get dice and stuff. So, I don't know. Looks cool to me. I love fantasy themed things anyway, as amongst my other big list of stuff that I like. Yeah, so I got to, I've got that in. Got a couple of new games through some stuff through the internet with some big sales. So I got, I did get a copy of Macho Koro, finally, because you talked me into it, and I played that quite a bit. I want to get that Harbor expansion, though.
I do too.
That looks really cool. So that's definitely on the list. In fact, I got to get up my Keister and get that here pretty quick. Because isn't that going to be hard to get here pretty quickly, as we mentioned before, or am I thinking about something else? Because I thought it was. I thought you mentioned something about getting the Harbor expansion. You better get it before the end of this month, or...
Well, no, it was... it's supposed to be out, like, late this month or early January, and it's just... I know it's going to be incredibly hard to find.
Okay.
It's kind of like we're still waiting on Fire and Ice to show up here, the expansion to Terra Mystica.
Okay.
Still haven't seen it.
Okay.
So.
Right. Okay, got it. Well, anyway, so I kind of want to get that. I got a copy of Splendor. I got Star Realms, finally. I'm kind of going through and, you know, setting it up.
I feel as though I've spent your money here.
Yeah, you did. I mean, these are all Morgan's doings, not my own. Not my own. Well, no, I like this stuff, though. I mean, it's not that it's bad. So, yeah, I got a couple of decks of those. And then what was really cool is I got... As I bought the decks, like when I bought Splendor and I bought Star Realms, it came with these HCD card sleeves. I really like those. They're a little thicker and heavier,
ooh,
and I kind of like them. They're just really nice quality. And I think I got like two packs came with. It was like a buck or two more on top of the game to get these two packs. And I went, wow, what the hell? You know, why as well? I like to do that with my stuff anyway. And I got two with that, and then I got two with each deck of Star Realms. I bought two of them because I want to play four-player at least, or at least have that capability. And they wound up sending me eight of them. I got like eight packs of these. So that's what I've been doing. I've been putting those in sleeves. So
darn.
Anyway, I've almost got that done. So here's kind of a cool idea. And I'm stealing this from a guy in our board game group that runs ours, Jeff. What he does with his Star Realms, I don't know if you do this, but to keep the deck separate, is he takes one set, you know, and sets them all up, you know, gets them all separated, the cards. He took the second set, and of course he's got them in card sleeves, and what he did is he took a Sharpie, and he put a little black dot in one of the corners.
Mm-hmm.
So to designate...
So you can separate them back out.
Yeah, exactly. So you could keep the two-player deck together and the four-player deck together. And so if you added another one, which I was thinking of doing, you know, then pick a different color. Just it's kind of a simple thing, but it's a great way to kind of keep the deck separated. Then when you get done playing, you just look for the ones with the dots and separate them all out. And, you know, you can go two or four-player, you know, very easily.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was another one that I got. And I think the only other thing I was going to mention that I played – that I'm really into, I played it again yesterday, as a matter of fact, is Melee. I don't think have you heard of this?
Mm-mm.
This game? I think the only place you can get it, it's in Canada, but I was talking to the guy that has it, that we played it with, and he says there's some distributor back east you can get it with. It's a really cool little game. It's a... it's kind of vicious, so you've got to kind of play with the right kind of people, but I'll talk about some of the mechanics that I thought were really cool. It's a, you know, set kind of in a fantasy thing. Everybody has a castle. It's a 2 to 4 player game. You know, it plays in about 20 to 30 minutes or less. It's in a little box. So it's a quick, you know, it's kind of an area control, you know, by units kind of thing. But initially what you do is everybody gets their castle and they get a like an infantry. So there's different units. There's infantry, knights, catapults, and encampments. And you can purchase all these. And so you have these little things. And so what winds up happening, the person that wins the game is either one person that takes a castle or it's the person that controls the most areas in the game after. It may not sound really exciting, but here's where it's really cool. So before you start the game, what you do is everybody gets like 15 gold, and there's four special ability cards, and they're totally random, so you get four different ones every time. You get to bid on those, and they give you some kind of benefit, you know, during the game. And it could be that you might get one of the cards, you might not get any. And so if somebody outbids you, you get your money back. If you don't, you pay for that and you lose that money. So before the game's even started, you're paying money. And then you also, so you keep going around and doing that. You can also buy units. So you can buy, you know, knights or infantry or catapults or these encampments. And then those are obviously used. The encampments are kind of interesting because they give you gold every turn. So it's not a bad idea to build them. But you can only, in each of the zones, you can only have one of each unit. So you can only have one knight, one catapult, one infantry, one encampment. You know, and you'd only got 15, and the knights cost 6 gold. So they're super expensive. The infantry and the catapults are 2, and then the encampments are 2 gold. So you keep going around the table, you know, either buying units or bidding on these special ability cards. And then once everybody passes, it's over. Then that's what you start the game with money-wise. Now, here's where the money comes in, because then you get these action cards. You can do 3 things, and you play one each turn. So you got – it basically goes through, I think it's like spring, summer, winter, or it starts whatever. You go through the 4 seasons, but in the winter phase, you play 2 of these. But you get these action cards. One of them is to get income. One of them is to build units, and one of them is to move and attack. And you only get to play one of them. But on the last turn, you get to play 2. So – you get to do those things, but here's where the combat's interesting. So when a guy goes in and attacks you, he has to tell you how many coins he has. So okay. He says, I have 9 gold. And so then he goes into the table, you know, and he picks what he wants, puts it in his hand, and then he holds his hand, you know, clenched fist. And then the defender has to guess what he has in his hand. If he does, the defender wins. If he doesn't, then the attacker wins. But the attacker loses that money. I mean, he has to pay that. Regardless if he wins or loses, he loses the money. So you see what I'm saying? So it comes down to this really thing like, well, God, he's got 9. He's going in here to take my guy out. How much is he going to risk? I loved the mechanic there. It is so – I thought it was very clever. And you also do this for the bid for the start player. At the beginning of each turn, you – everybody holds out their hand, and whoever has the most, you know, bids the most money gets the first player. Now, they don't have to be the first player. They can go last if they want, which can be advantageous. Go, well, I'll go last, you know, and see what everybody's going to do. But, I don't know, cool little goofy little game, but I love that combat mechanic in that.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
It is. It's really cool. I'm going to get a copy of it, and it's only like $20, I think. But I thought it was really clever. It's neat, a little bit different. You know, kind of gets vicious. I got just hammered yesterday. I got my castle taken. But yeah, when they go to attack your castle, though, the defender gets to guess twice. So he gets to pick 2. So it really sucks if you go to attack somebody and you only have like 3 gold. Because then they're like, well, might not be too hard to guess it. But if they come in and they got like 10 or 12, that gets tricky. But he can keep attacking sometimes certain units, like the knights can keep attacking. They can keep moving and attacking. As long as you got money, you can move around the entire board if you want and just cream units, you know, if you want to. I don't know. I thought it was a really cool, you know, fun little game. Anyway, I think that's kind of my stuff, I guess. I guess the only other thing I want to throw out there, too, was we got to try out a new game by Tim Fowers. And Morgan, you're familiar with him. Now, see, I wasn't. So what's his...
He did Paperback, which was kickstarted probably almost 2 years ago now.
Okay, right. Yeah, and I understand that game's going
I feel like there's one more.
Okay, yeah, I think he's got a couple, doesn't he? But he was at our meetup yesterday and didn't realize that, and then I saw that game and whatever, and wound up playing a demo game of his, and unfortunately, I don't remember the name of it, but it was a spy game where... It was a co-op. You're working on these 3 floors as a spy, and these guards randomly move around, and you have to unveil these tiles and get over to a safe and crack the safe, but it came down to rolling dice and everything, and then trying to dodge the guards, and you have like these stealth tokens. And when you lose them, if you lose all of them, then you get found and the game's over and you lose. Well, you have to get through all three floors and crack all three safes and then get out the stairs. I thought it was kind of cool. I think he's still working on some things with it, but I thought it was kind of fun. And, we were kind of giving him, some suggestions and, feedback on it and stuff. So I always like to try something new that nobody's done. So we'll have to kind of keep our eye on that and see how that kind of progresses or whatever. But I think he was just up here. I don't think he's up here permanently, but he popped up, I think, through the holidays. I don't know if he knows somebody here. He's got family or something, so... but going to get to hang out with him again on Wednesday night.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of cool. If you like the spy cooperative kind of thing, and everybody's got gets to play somebody that's got some special power and, that kind of thing. And I don't know, I thought it was kind of cool. It was a little different, kind of a different mechanic and stuff. So anyway, I think that's kind of it. So any other little shout-outs or anything before we roll into the calendar here?
That's all I've got.
Okay, sounds good. Let's go into that then. Okay, welcome to On the Calendar. This is what meetups are coming up and what we may be playing or doing. We'll do a quick rundown of our last meetups and what's coming up on Reno Area Tabletop. So first thing we've got is the Board Game Blitz. That is today, which is December 21st.
And then we've got Roundtable Games and Game Designers Discussion December 23rd.
Yep, and that's getting done a little early because normally that'd be on a Thursday, but I don't think anybody's going to be doing things on Christmas because everything's closed.
Mm-hmm. Might be a little hard.
Yeah, exactly. Then we've got a traditional game night plus beer on the 26th, which is right after Christmas.
Comet Kingdom Open Gaming Saturday, December 27th.
And then we've got Comet Kingdom Open Gaming Wednesday, December 31st.
Learn a New Board Game, January 11th.
Yeah, we've got a little bit of a space in there between. And then we've got D&D Attack Wing on January 16th. Now, we tried to do
this. You aren't looking forward to that at all.
No, we're not. But we were actually supposed to do on Friday night. But our fearless leader that's in charge of that wasn't feeling well. So we decided, it was just him and I were going to be there.
Oh, no.
But I just decided not to go because I'm like, well, I'm going to go by myself. But anyway, that's something I want to mention about that really quick before we move into the last thing. Those of you that haven't purchased that or whatever, it's really cool. What I thought was neat. WizKids, who makes the game, has these, and the only place that I found them so far is Cool Stuff Inc., and I'm sure you get them anywhere. They sell these colored tile sets that you can put, you can mount your dragons and all the expansion stuff on, but they're colored and they come in black, yellow, purple, red, green, and blue. So what I thought was kind of cool about that was that, and it comes with a whole set, it comes with like two big bases and a bunch of smaller ones, all the pegs and everything in it, so that when you're playing with other people,
visually distinguished.
Yeah, exactly. Like, these are my things because my guys are, my bases are purple, yours are green, yours are blue, so I thought those were cool little stocking stuffer things as I kind of get to that. So I got some of those, and they weren't very much. They were like $4 or $5 or something like that.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, but I thought that was kind of cool because I know all of us, there's three of us that have it, just so we can kind of keep stuff, distinguished with all the parts and stuff that are in that game. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
So lots of bits and bobs.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. So what's the last thing we got on there?
And the last thing we have on here is Friday Night Games on January 16th. Sounds like you're going to have a busy day.
Yes, I am. Oh, I don't care. It's this is a great time of the year to be gaming, as far as I'm concerned. So, anyway, Morgan, what else we got there? Any con stuff that we want to throw at
us? You said you're working on Wizard World for next year, right?
Yes, yep, that would be it. So, yeah, we did have the Wizard World here. What was it? November 21st, 22nd, 23rd. Mm-hmm. And I got to work that just because I was working. I volunteered to work in the board game area.
Mm-hmm.
And some really nice folks from the St. Louis area came out that run a game store out there, and they brought like 225 games with them.
Trying to think who that would be. Was that game night, maybe?
Gosh, you know, I I'd almost have to go and look. You know, I will do that and sort of give him some credit and specifically see who it was. But, yeah, I don't exactly remember what it was. But basically got a ticket into the con for the whole weekend and just got to basically wasn't doing anything about checking in games. You know, I didn't have to do any of that. But we were just kind of standing, you know, in the one spot there and, you know, trying to figure out. We were recommending games to people, you know, as to, you know, what was going on and so on. And I don't know, I thought it was kind of fun. You know, I got to teach the game, some games to people and so on, and I thought it was pretty fun. But you know what was really funny about that? I mean, they had a pretty plethora of stuff, but you know what was one of the game, a couple of games that were getting checked out the most, which just, it's to each his own, but it was kind of driving me nuts. A lot of us that were working there were laughing about it.
What do you think? Take an eyeball and say they were published by Parker Brothers?
Yeah. Sorry, Monopoly. Oh, folks, geez. I have nothing against these games, believe me, but it was just like with all the other cool stuff that was there, and we would try to recommend stuff to people. You know, they were, you know, they're getting those, and they're like, hey, why don't you try this? This is really cool. So, but one of the games I wound up teaching a lot, and I know you're not a big fan of it, but I wound up teaching King of Tokyo quite a bit. Because yeah. It's a good one to teach people, and we had a lot of families coming through, you know, with their kids. And it was a great – I taught a few families, and they loved it. I mean, you know, they had little boys and stuff, and it was just perfect. And, you know, everybody, they were like
– lots of Monster Smash. And
yeah, exactly. And they it just went over really well. And there was this older brother and his younger sister that came in. She was adorable. And I had the best time teaching those two, and they got into it, and they played it like 5 or 6 times. And the girl was just cute as hell. I mean, she was just getting into it so much. I mean, she liked it more than the brother did. You know, he's like a 13 or 14 year old, and I think she was about 8 or 9, and she was just totally getting into it. It was really fun. So, no, it was a blast. And I guess the only other thing I thought was kind of cool, obviously the thing with that con was, you know, there was some bigwig people there and so on. You know, Bruce Campbell was there. And shoot, I don't know why I keep spacing her name, but the one that played, she was in Guardians of the Galaxy. Which is
Karen Gillan?
Yeah, Karen Gillan was Nebula. Mm-hmm. She was there, and of course the couple of real big wigs that were there was William Shatner, you know, and he of course had a crowd around him. But he was only about 20 feet away from where the gaming thing was, so I could at least, you know, see him and everything. But he was in there signing stuff, and then he was out. But who was next to him? It was George. I was thinking George Takei. It's not. It was Walter Koenig. Was right next to him. And he had nobody there. And so I got up the thing and said, you know, I'm going to go over there. What the heck? You know, and because I love the old series. And he's actually one of my favorite characters on the old series. And I went over there. And what was really cool, I wound up getting to talk to him for like 10 or 15 minutes. Because there was nobody there. And it was so cool. He was a really cool guy. And I think people really missed out if they didn't go over and talk to him. He was really interesting, but I kind of got a kick out of him because when I went over there, he says, do you know a guy named Harry Morgan, an actor named Harry Morgan? And I said, yeah. And he goes, you remind me of him. Like, oh, great. And then, you know, we just wound up talking about some other stuff and whatever, but it was really cool. So I got a signed picture from him and thought that was kind of cool. So yeah, that's definitely coming back from what I understand. So much bigger, you know, than I thought. But no, we had a blast, you know, working that. It was not hard work. I mean, yeah, it was great. I got to teach people how to play games, you know, and, you know, we had a couple little snafus. I remember there was one point somebody had checked out, what is the Marvel deck building game? I don't know.
Legendary?
Yes, correct. And the people that checked it out, like, I don't know, put the stuff in the box upside down and the cards got scattered everywhere.
Oh.
I spent 30 minutes and that one guy was really mad. And then the lady was working, she goes, can you? And I said, yeah, sure. So I spent 30 minutes sorting all these cards out, you know, and trying to get it set up in there. And they give you a gazillion slots in that box to put cards, more than you could fit everything. So then trying to organize it so it wouldn't get all messed up and everything. So that was I guess the only amount of work that I did. But I did teach somebody D&D Attack Wing, but I didn't get to play it. Taught them the simple version of it. I taught X-Wing, you know, kingdom builder. We did get some people to do some things, you know, and that was this one group of teenagers that came in, and they got very ambitious and picked up the 5th edition D&D and tackled that. So I thought, okay, you guys want to play it? And they're like, well, can you help them teach? And I go, well, I kind of know the old rules. I'm old original D&D. And I haven't really played since the 2nd edition. So I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be the best. But, yeah, you just do this, and you just do this, and you just do this. That's kind of what I did. So anyway. Okay. I think that's we've kind of beat that to death. So what do you say we roll into the pipeline and get to the meat of the show here?
Sounds good.
Okay, welcome to In the Pipeline. These are what new games are coming out and what may look good or not good for that matter. So this is now Morgan gets to talk and I get to rest my voice. So what do we got out? What do we got coming at us
here? Well, we've already kind of hit our Kickstarter arrivals, so no need to rehash that. But on Kickstarter that have began recently, we do have Sentinel Conflict and Story War, which is from, of course, wow, geez, I just blanked. That's terrible. Greater Than Games, mm-hmm. who are fabulous guys. I love them to death.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And this one is actually, if you kind of mashed up, like, Once Upon a Time or Dixit and storytelling game, and the Sentinels of the Multiverse characters and environment, mm-hmm. you would have this game.
Yep.
So this I'm tremendously really, excited for it.
This looks really cool.
Oh, I'm in on it, of course, as well as for the comic, which is limited edition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this looks cool. So, what's the little synopsis on this? You know, I mean, you kind of talked about it a little bit, but how many players and what do you kind of?
This one is, I believe, 3 to 8.
Right.
And it's basically, if you think of it as, you know, when you were a kid and you were all, well, you know, Captain America could totally take on Superman.
Right. Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So it's something like that. So it's a what-if kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sweet.
Except you've got cards in your hand, and you're using those cards to kind of build the scenarios and everything else.
Oh, cool. So where are these guys sitting at right now, anyway? How long?
They're a little over halfway there.
Okay.
And they are, 17 days out.
17, okay.
They're tracking like they're going to make it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that looks really cool. Nope, I think I'm going to have to do that one. Dang it, Morgan.
Sorry.
Dang it. Okay, what else do we got there? I'm going to have to get in on that. That just looks too cool.
We also have what might possibly be the most meta game we've ever featured on the show.
Okay, and that would
be? Are you braced?
Yes.
We have Board Game Geek, the card game.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope. And this one is a game about collecting and trading board games that are on these cards.
Okay.
A lot of them are prominently featured on the site. And the cards are kind of designed in what I would call a loving homage to the most frequented worst design site on the internet. I'm sorry, right. I find Board Game Geek so user unfriendly. It's
right.
Really not a lot to say here. It looks like a pretty simple game. Is completely and totally over gold. They only had $100 gold. This is part of Board Game Geek's annual fundraiser.
Right.
Kind of like Wikipedia does at the end of the year.
Okay.
So
Board Game Geek is actually doing this, aren't they?
Yeah, it's endorsed. It's full on.
Yeah, it says Board Game Geek, the card game by Board mm-hmm. Game Geek. And they only won $100 and it's sitting at $88,689 already? Wow.
You mean 8,000.
Yeah, 8,000.
They're doing well, not that well.
Yeah. Did I say 80,000? Yeah, probably.
You said 88,000.
Yeah, no, it's 8,000. Right, sorry. So how long has that one got to go?
That one's got, wrong tab. I have to keep all of these up or I'll mess it up. 14 days to go, so a little over 2 weeks left to get in on that one.
Okay. Oh, cool. I don't know, it's kind of different, I got to say. It's pretty funny. And at least for the entertainment value of anything. It's almost, I don't know if I want to get in that or not, but sounds kind of cool.
I personally probably won't be backing that one. If I'm going to support the geek, I'm probably just going to do it with straight money rather than...
Sure.
Because I'll be really honest, that would be one that would sit on the shelf and probably never actually...
Yeah, probably nothing would happen with it. I gotcha. Okay. Yep. So what else? What do we got ending that we want to mention that's rolling out?
All right. Ending. We have, well, this isn't a board game, but they're super cool. We have these posters that are actually inspired by tabletop games. They're very kind of modern, very simplistic. And these things are gorgeous. There's a little under 3 days to go, actually closer to 2 days at this point in time, and they're right under goal, so I really think this one's going to make it. The 48-hour reminder email hasn't gone out yet, so I can definitely see that bumping it over. But yeah, you've got these awesome, simplistic, perfect for the game room posters based on five of kind of the more, how do I want to say, almost gateway games.
Right.
Because you've got Catan, Ticket to Ride, Lords of Waterdeep, which may not be my worker placement of choice, but it is a really good gateway.
I love that one.
Puerto Rico, and of course, Pandemic.
Right.
So,
For some reason,
Pandemic just reminds me of the EU flag for some reason.
Yeah, it kind of does look like that.
I don't get that design, but everything else is great. I'll probably be in on a couple of these, so.
Yeah, we didn't get to mention it, but last week, just as you mentioned Pandemic very quickly, we did a little meetup where we raised some money for Doctors Without Borders, and we played Pandemic. So people came, and we had a couple of those games running, and then we had like a little donation box, and people could donate to Doctors Without Borders to, you know, kind of doing some stuff with Ebola and whatever. I thought was kind of cool, so.
How was that win-loss ratio?
Yeah, we got our rear ends kicked twice because we went with all the expansion stuff and put all the hard crap in, and we just went all in, and we got thumped both times. The second one, we got crushed really bad the first time, and then the second one, you know, it was with the mutation stuff. We had all that in there, and it was just, I'm like, why are we doing this? And we're like, well, we want to beat it. And I'm like, let's put all the stuff in. Might as well play with all the bits. And it's really hard to win that game all that extra stuff in there. It's just, you have to have stuff. And then the second one, we were doing all right. We wiped a couple things out, but we just got overwhelmed. So, but it was fun. I mean, it got a lot of people to play it. You know, a lot of us sometimes, there's some of us that really like it. And some of us are like, you know, we'll play it, you know, whatever. But I think that was, you know, we played a few games of it, and, you know, we were just doing it for the cause. So I think it got some people to, you know, come and do that and stuff. So it was kind of cool. Anyway. So what else do we got there? So, yeah, those posters are really cool, folks. You gotta get on those. Those are pretty cool. I do like that.
Last but not least, we have the board game Coven by 8th Summit. This is a, how do I want to play this? It's a game for up to five players, and it's actually got some hidden alignments, some really cool things going on with it. And this game is gorgeous, guys.
Yes, it is. I'm at it right now. Holy smokes. Wow. Awesome artwork on this.
Yep, this is kind of a semi-co-op. You're trying to have the most balance points, except you don't know who's on your side.
Ooh, cool. I like that. I like that mechanic.
And you also don't know which of the five kind of powers that be in the game are on your side either.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, and even if your side kind of wins the balance, only one player is going to end up leading the coven. So it's really interesting as far as player dynamic, everything else. This game is well past goal and into stretch goals, and there are only 11 hours left as we're recording this to get in on it.
Right, okay.
So.
I think I'm going to have to do this one too. Just by looking at the artwork, I'm already in. So there's two more.
Mm-hmm.
There's two more. Yeah, and if people haven't noticed, we threw a little challenge up. So we do have a little contrast running, and there's a few people that have gotten in on it. And I'll have to tweet it some more here because we're running out of time. But you got up until Christmas to tell us. And then we're going to do this through Twitter. I guess we could do it on our webpage too. It probably wouldn't be bad, but you got to guess.
It's cool. Yeah.
Yep. But you have to tell us how many Kickstarters Morgan has gotten me into that I now dove into. And it is a lot. You have to give us the number. And,
First person by timestamp to give us the exact number will win. So if you've got your guess and someone else has already made it, sorry, you might go one higher, one lower. But, yeah, tell us the exact number. We'll send you something nice.
Yep. So we got something. And we do have the what we're doing with that contest. It is up on our webpage at bgbpodcast.com. There is a post there that explains what you guys need to do, since we might as well throw that in there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Deadline 11:59 p.m. What did we call that, Pacific time on Christmas?
Yes. So that'd be pretty funny if we got somebody at
right under
seconds.
The wire.
Yeah, right under the wire, see what happens. Anyway, so anything else we want to mention there in the Kickstarter realm? We talked about a lot of stuff at the front end of the show, at least the stuff that we got. So
yep. December's kind of a bad month for Kickstarters. So
yeah,
generally. So spending money on holidays and everything else, a lot of project creators are kind of afraid to throw their stuff out there.
Yep.
And I've noticed that funding is slower, so.
Right, but there's some good stuff there, though. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go into our next segment, which would normally be our interview, but we'll roll into that. How's that sound?
All right, sounds great.
Okay, welcome to our interview segment, which we are going to do, we're going to call, I guess, our last second or moment or last day's gift ideas. From Morgan and Vel. So we're going to throw out some games that might be, we'll start with some, I guess, bigger games, I would suppose, and then we'll give you some stocking stuffer suggestions. So Morgan, why don't you give one of yours? We'll start with the bigger ones first. So,
sure. All right. First one I'm throwing out there is going to be Rampage, a.k.a. Terror in Maple City, depending on which version you're buying.
Right.
This one's a lot of fun, dexterity-based game. Good for older kids, I'd say probably 8 and up. I'm not sure what the box actually recommends, but I would say that an 8-year-old would be able to grasp it, play it. You know, there are some kind of small bits, so,
right.
You know, play in an area where you can spot pieces that fly off the table, because they will.
Right.
That's no fault of the players. That's definitely the game. It's intended for that to happen.
Right, exactly.
Play as a giant monster, body drop on buildings. Yep. You know, use your breath weapon. It's a lot of fun.
It is. I love that game. I played it once, and it's a kick. That's an awesome recommendation.
Mm-hmm. So hit me with your first one.
My first one? Well, I'm going to kind of stay in the same vein. I'm going to recommend King of Tokyo. And there's also an expansion that goes with it too, which makes it even better. That I would recommend getting that too if you wanted to get both. But the standard game is great. Same kind of thing. It's just it doesn't really have the dexterity part, but you know everybody plays a monster and you're trying to beat the other players, and it's just a fun game. And you know, they've got the King of New York one out there. I'll just throw out there. I played. I'm a little more of a fan of this one though, to be quite honest with you. Not that King of New York's a bad game, but, you know, between the two, just my own personal recommendation, I think King of Tokyo is a much better choice. But great family game. You know, it's done really well. It's a lot of people are very familiar with it, but you want to get something to get people into it that's really fun, I think, for everybody. I think that's a good recommendation. So what's another one you got there?
This one's kind of aimed at the non-gamers out there. This one's Wits and Wagers. This is one that you can buy and pick up and take to Aunt Minnie's house and play and have a good time with. Mm-hmm. Because the entire point of this game is not knowing the answers. It's knowing who's going to know the answers.
Ah, right, right.
And this is one that I've taken into my 70-odd-year-old parents. And, you know, we've sat down and played it. And both of my parents have been incredibly competitive at it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is something... The last board game they probably played was with me when I was 5, and that would have been Sesame Street Uno.
Right, okay.
So, non-gamers can be just as competitive as the rest of us.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good... You know, I have that on my list. I know that's a good one. That's kind of a game for our... traditional board game nights plus beer. I think that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That would fit in there, because we tend to kind of play some more things that are kind of along those lines a lot of the times. Because no matter how many people does that play anyway?
Oh God, I think it can play, depending on which edition you have, at least up to 8, if not further.
I thought it was more than that. I thought you could play like 20 with that. I thought.
I think you may have to like smash a couple of editions together, and it kind of depends on which rules you play too, because there's.
Right.
There's a different rule set from what was shown on tabletop than what comes in a couple of the boxes.
Okay.
So your mileage may vary, folks, but I think it's a lot like Telestrations, where you could smash multiple sets together and be just fine.
Cool. Okay, my next one's going to be Waggle Dance, which I talked at the front end of the show, the bee worker placement, just kind of fun, you know, if you want kind of a little more animal-themed, you know, kind of game, but I really like that one. It's really easy to learn it. It's not complicated, but it's fun. You know, it's a 2-4, you know, can go anywhere from 30 minutes to over an hour, depending on what, you know, length you want, but you know, lots of dice, you like that. It's got a lot of tactile stuff with it, and they're kind of fun for everybody, so I think that's a good one. Mm-hmm. And I know you've got another one here. That's it for my big one recommendations, but what do you got in there?
And actually, I should have mentioned earlier, I did have the opportunity to play this.
Okay.
It is the Catan Egypt Special Edition.
Okay.
Everybody, I'm sure, has spat their soda at their screen because everybody knows I don't like Catan.
Okay. Right.
But this actually has two variant game modes in it, and I'm not sure at this point if they can be combined because we only played with one of the game modes because with our group, we don't exactly like listening to the rules, so the fewer rules we go through at a time, the better.
Okay, I gotcha.
But there's a variant where the players are building the pyramid, and you have Vizier's Favor, which kind of gives a buff to the player who put the last block on the pyramid. Or the most recent block on the pyramid, I should say. And then you have Pharaoh's Favor, Pharaoh's Curse, depending on if you're, you know, actually building the pyramid as you should be, along with playing your regular game of Catan.
Right.
Or whether you're, you know, kind of slacking off.
Right.
And then there's also a variant with God cards, which I'm not sure if they're kind of the same powers as the Star Trek Catan folks or not.
Right.
But there are God cards that give some variable player powers as well, which could be interesting.
Okay.
And the board is gorgeous. There's the board tiles are, I believe, double-sided, if I recall correctly. And you've got one board, and it's actually the way you have to set it up if you're playing Pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
But it's set up, and it's designed like the Nile Delta.
Okay.
And instead of just straight wooden roads and little houses, you've got these amazing little ox carts and papyrus boats.
Oh, cool.
And, instead of your cities, you've got the actual, like, Valley of the Kings kind of monuments or structures. So you've got the four pharaohs sitting, you've got the Sphinx, you've got a pyramid. So
It's
really awesome and really thematic, and I think I'm going to try and talk Lauren into an Egypt-themed game night with that and Kemet and Valley of the Kings and see what else we can find out.
Okay. So. That sounds like a good recommendation.
Yep, it's a little pricey, but if you've got either a Catan lover or an Egypt lover in your life, it will definitely hit the spot.
Right. I don't know, I'm not going to throw this one out there, but I know that came out, and that just reminded me how many people have sent money into Imperial Assault. we saw somebody at the board game thing, one of our board game meetups yesterday had it out, and they were playing it. So it looked kind of cool, but... you know, one of the guys in my group said, yeah, it looks really cool, but he goes, it looks like Descent to me. And he goes, I already have Descent. So he goes, I'm going to see if I can find somebody to play it that has it. And then he'll see if he wants to sink his money into it. So kind of a pricey. But that just came out this week, didn't it, I believe?
Yeah, I think it was Tuesday because there were lots of pictures from Tabletop that are...
Right. Exactly. And if people aren't familiar with that, this is the one of the new Fantasy Flight new games in a big box where, which is kind of like dungeony crawl, I wouldn't really say that, but in the Star Wars universe, and you've got all these pieces and everything, and you got different objectives, and I'm sure you got little scenarios and things that you have to do, you know, and it looks really cool. Like I said, it is a pricey game, but... it looks pretty cool, so I'm sure some people are going to get on that one. So, saw a lot of Twitter stuff about people saying, "Should I sink my money into this?" Because it's, but you know, you get a lot of stuff in there. I mean, it's got a lot of nice pieces. I mean, when I looked at the game yesterday, it looked really cool. I mean, it's really nicely done. I mean, the game components are very, very nice. So, anyway, got a little sidetracked there, but somebody really want to get somebody that's a Star Wars lover, boy, that'd be a good one. You know, just depends if you want to sink that kind of money into it or not. What is that going for, too? It's close to $100.
I don't know.
You can get it. I think you can get it It's going anywhere. I've seen anywhere from about 100 down to about $75. You know, depending on where you get it. You know. Anyway.
According to Amazon, and I'm going to say this right now, support your friendly local game stores, folks.
Exactly.
But if you must buy it online, it looks like Amazon's got some in stock on Prime for $81.99.
Right.
So if you've got Amazon Prime, you can get 2-day shipping and have it here under the tree if you don't have a friendly local game store.
Exactly.
But if you do, and I'm going to give this lecture once and only once, friendly local game stores depend on us.
Exactly. So I really try to buy a lot of stuff from them too.
Yeah. Especially this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know we're all stressing about getting gifts here on time, everything else. A lot of these games are still in stock, at least at my friendly local game store, Val. I'm sure yours too.
Yep, they sure are. Yep.
And, you know, they're working extra hours to make sure that they can serve us this holiday season. The least we can do is, if we have a chance, to pick it up there, or at least call there and check that they have it before we order it off of Amazon, before we, you know, pay ridiculous amounts of money to the Postal Service to ship it.
Right.
Even if their markup is slightly higher on the product itself, I bet you're paying less at your game store than you will for the expedited shipping.
Yep, exactly. That's a good point. So, yeah,
and
we always want to do that.
Another note, while you're there, guys, if you're paying by card, it's going to be different either place. But if you can, if you will, if you're willing, ask them if credit or debit is cheaper for them to process, especially if you're buying the little stuff, because the answer may vary. But there's always a break point, and you can save them a little money on the back end just by changing how you run your card if you're comfortable doing so.
Exactly. That's an excellent point. I've got to go with you in on you on that one, too. Yeah. Support
Sorry,
the local
get
people.
Get off my soapbox.
Yep. No, it's good. It's definitely a good thing. So.
Speaking of little stuff, did you have some stuff?
Yeah, and you do, too. So one of mine is Dungeon Roll. I don't know if we've talked about this on the show. I think we have a little bit. Comes in a little, looks like a little treasure chest.
Mm-hmm.
I know it was a Kickstarter. It's a little dungeon crawl, dice rolling game. Super fun, super quick. Got some neat mechanics to it. You know, if you like that kind of stuff, everybody gets to play some kind of a hero with powers, and you dungeon crawl. You do these little three little turn runs into a dungeon. You know, rolling these dice and getting loot and all that kind of stuff. Super fun little game. 1 to 4 players. I've actually played it with more than that. It seems to have worked. You know, I don't know. It's just, I know it's designed for that, but I've actually played it with like 5 or 6, and it worked just fine. You know, so I think the only thing is you run out of tokens, but you know, maybe buy a couple of them and you can play with more people. So you can always modify these things. So that's one of my recommendations. What do you got there, Morgan?
I'm going to throw Sushi Go out there first.
Okay, that's a good one.
Of course, this is a little light drafting game if you've got, you know, and this is especially like if you're traveling with a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
Something like this can make all the difference, because if they're sitting there going, man, you know, I wish I had 7 Wonders, I wish I had something like that. Boy, this can scratch that itch, and it comes in a tin, you know, no bigger than a 4x6 index card.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right. So, yeah, that's a good one. Oh, that's a fun little game. Well, my next one's going to be Star Realms, which I've already talked about. That's awesome. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, whatever
multiple
you want.
Multiple of two. Well, multiples of
two.
Anything.
Yeah, multiple of two. The more decks of it you buy, if you buy the one deck, you know, but it like fits in your pocket, like you say. What's interesting about that, I mean, it's kind of a cutthroat thing, but that's not always the case, because they do got... And I haven't tried any of these in there, but they have these, and I'm sure there's some other stuff out there if you look, but a lot of people have designed, like, scenarios and offshoots of it, but it's a card drafting game where you're, you know, getting cards and stuff like that. And if people don't like those kind of games, give this one a try. It's super fun. You know, even if you don't like those, I mean, it's themed very interestingly.
It's a deck builder that's very, yep. very hard to break.
Exactly.
Which is my problem with most deck builders, is I'll be sitting there and there'll be, you know, someone in my group that can absolutely break a deck builder just by looking at it. And
mm-hmm.
the minute someone breaks it, it doesn't matter if I still win, I stop having fun.
Right, exactly.
Even if it's me that breaks it, even if I've got the most powerful combination of whatever in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
But since Star Realms was designed in part by Magic the Gathering player, it's a lot harder to break this game.
Right.
You know, there are some strategies that definitely can end up superior given what was going on, but I really don't think this one's breakable.
No, I agree with you.
Someone's, of course, going to prove me wrong, but Yeah, it's one that'll stay fun for me for a really long time.
Yep, I gotta agree. It's great. So that's a highly recommended from us. So what other what's your other stocking stuffer you got there? I only have a couple. You've got one more besides that, so might as well give both of yours.
So I'll throw Marvel Dice Masters out there.
Oh,
there's
that's
of course
a good one.
The new set. There's what is it, Incredible X-Men. There's also Avengers vs. X-Men, which is the one that came up first.
Mm-hmm.
Not one that you want to take and travel with lots of bits and parts and pieces, but you know, if someone's already got the starter set, you know, you can give them the booster packs. You know, mm-hmm. you can wrap the starter set under the tree and throw a whole bunch of booster packs in the stocking, because, I mean, they're cheap, they're, you
right.
know, quick.
Right.
And they're a heck of a lot of fun to open. You know,
right.
it's just like the Magic the Gathering cardboard crack thing, except,
right.
you know, with the incredible satisfaction of having a fistful of dice as well.
Right.
So.
Yep, and cards to go with it as well, so you got both things.
Yep, for a Magic the Gathering player you're trying to convert, this would be a good one.
Yep. And you got one more stocking stuffer there, don't you?
And this one, I'll give a shout out to my friend Adam, who actually works at Tabletop. This is one he introduced us to, and it is called No Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of like a set collection game, almost.
Okay.
And it'll appeal to gamers and non-gamers, because you've got these little poker chips, so there's something very tactile as well. But you're trying to, by golf rules, collect a set of cards worth, of course, the least points. Golf rules wins.
Okay.
But you can only pass on cards that come up a certain number of times. You have to put a chip on it, say no thanks, and so on. So eventually someone's going to get stuck with, you know, this card worth 34 or 35 points.
Right.
You can chain cards down, so if I get stuck with that 35, for instance, if I can take a 34 and a 33, they stack on top of it, makes that 35 only worth 33 points, and the other cards don't count at all.
Right.
So long as you have sequential cards, the lowest one will count. But at the beginning of the game, there's also a hidden information element, kind of like Love Letter, because depending on how many players you have, I believe it's 9 of the cards are removed.
Okay.
So you don't know, you know, you can take that 33 and think, oh yeah, you know, I can get a 32 and a 31, and I've got a 29 sitting here, so if
mm-hmm.
I get 3 cards in between, I can chain those down. And then it turns out that the 30 is not in the game at all.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
You can get
really hard.
Right.
And this game will have a lot of variety in winners. I went from having the worst score that Adam's ever seen in this game
mm-hmm.
to winning just within one round of each other.
Right. Huh. There's a game that I played here recently that kind of sounds like that, but I got on the game. The name of it's eluding me. It's in a green box, but it sounds almost kind of familiar. We're like collecting sets of cards, and you can take them or give them to somebody, and you're trying to protect the ones underneath it. You know, sets of like twos, threes, fours, or, you know, different numbers. I don't know why I cannot think of the game. Linko or something like that? Does that sound right?
Oh, I don't know on that one.
Yeah, anyway, but it's kind of fun. That kind of sounds like it's kind of a similar game mechanic to me. So I just played it like about a week or so ago. Maybe I played it on Wednesday night. I just can't remember. My mind's going to mush. Usually pretty good game with game names most of the time, but you never know it sometimes, I guess. Okay, folks, so that's our kind of our interview section, so hopefully that gives you guys some possible last-second good gift ideas as far as games go.
And I'll say it one more time, support your friendly local game stores.
Absolutely. I am with you on that one as well. So what do you say we do a little bit of beer here?
Oh, let's hit it.
Okay. So, welcome to the Beer and Game segment. What beer or spirit goes with a good or select game? And that's what we always do. We always select some kind of beer or a brewery. And this week to go, this always ties into our Back in the Vault segment, but we're going to go with the Dinosaur Brewing Company.
There we go.
Yeah, which is just so, I'm all over this. But we'll just kind of throw some of the names they have out there. They've got the Allosaurus African Amber, which is a hoppy amber ale. They've got the Paleontologist Porter, which is a honey porter. They have the Sinoropteryx, which is an orange ginger wheat beer. What an interesting dinosaur one to pick.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are not. Hephaesaurus, American style wheat. This is a seasonal one. They have a Jurassic Jack-O-Lantern, a pumpkin beer. They have the T-Rex Fest, which runs during Oktoberfest. They have the Extinction IPA. Pretty funny. November and December. I assume that one's probably still going on right now. And then you've got some experimental ones, the Brontosaurus Brown, the Centosaurus Cider. They have Dinosaur Celebration. These are dino ones. So they have the Dino Shark, the Dur Dinosaur, which is a German, it looks like, the Fossilized Amber, the Herbivore Honey Pale Ale, Jurassic Golden Ale, and Pterodactyl. So pretty cool to me.
Definitely.
Yeah. Gotta have to go visit that place someday, I think. So anyway, why don't we do our little game here, folks? We're running a little long on the teeth, I think. So to keep things rolling, I think we're just going to do one. Doesn't it sound like a...
Sounds fine by me. Hit me. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead and hit you. So I'm going to get... I have a terrible time with this, folks. I don't know why, but it just... I'm getting worse as this goes. So let me see. I might make it easy on you.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Waggle Dance.
That's
my one I'm going to try. So some bee-themed kind of thing. Workers, bees. Oh, she seems stumped, folks. I think I might have her. I doubt it.
Yeah, not so much, no. Because no matter what you think politically, something cool happened
a few
years ago.
Okay.
And that would be that the White House actually got into craft beers and home brewing.
Oh, okay.
And the very, very first beer they produced was a honey ale.
Oh.
So I will go with the official, you know, first beer of the United States government, White House Honey Ale.
Okay, there you go.
How's that?
Okay. Well, it's good as always. Okay, go ahead.
I'll
see what I'm going to get thrown out here.
I'll go soft on you. King of Tokyo.
King of Tokyo. I could go something dinosaurish, I suppose. I'm just going to cheat and use ones that we just went over. Because I guess they kind of are. Because they theme a lot of this stuff after that, don't they?
They sure do.
How about... I don't know. Oh, see, I still can't. King of Tokyo Monster. What do we want? Is there like a... I wonder if there's some kind of Godzilla kind of thing. Would be funny, wouldn't it? I wonder if there's a Godzilla beer. Because if there was, it's like Godzilla IPA or something like that.
They actually... I've got one for you, but...
I don't know. Maybe... there's this one in... I'm going to go with this one that's in New Orleans, if it's still around. It's the one that I'm looking at. What is it? It's called the Mecca Hopzilla beer. And
there
it's themed, it's got Godzilla on the can. So, but looks like somebody sued them for using the logo.
Whoops.
Mecha Godzilla, which appeared in 5 films since that. So they because they use that name, it looks like. But that's what I'm going to go with.
Sounds like a plan.
Mecha Hopzilla beer. I know you doubt it's around, but it works. It fits this. You got to say it does. Hold. Not really being really original there, but got out of that one so, I guess. End of the year, at least decently, I got to some extent. Okay.
Awesome.
Okay, so why don't we roll into our last segment here, and we'll get out of here. Let people go out and start buying some games. How's that sound?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's... why don't we head back into the vault? What do you say?
Sounds good.
Okay, so goblins, get over here and get this drawbridge open for us. Come on, you guys. Yep, see? They have no problem opening. They're just happy this time of the year because they're getting... I've given them all kinds of things.
Oh, my God, what is that?
I don't know.
Did it just eat one of the...
No, get away from there. What are you doing? Yeah, you can't.
Cannot afford another workers' comp claim with these goblins.
No, we can't. Oh, well. Well, it's towards the end of the year. I'm going to let it slide. Anyway, so welcome to Back in the Vault. This is our discussion to look back at old games that may still be around or those out of print. On this episode, we are going to take a look back at the game Tyrannosaurus Rex. WRECKS. Anyway, so let's give a little synopsis of this. I actually have this one. I think it's fun. I'll talk about some of my misgivings and stuff after we talk about some of the things that are going on. So what What are we looking at here, Morgan? What is Tyrannosaurus Rex? What are we doing here?
Clever, clever, clever. All right. Tyrannosaurus Rex is a science fiction game for 2 to 4 players depicting a hunt for the biggest game imaginable, dinosaurs. Each player controls one hunter who has traveled into the past in a time machine to try to win fame and fortune by becoming the most successful dinosaur killer.
Ah, cool. So Tyrannosaurus Rex calls itself a board game, but really it is a microgame, which are some of the ones I actually got into originally first, a genre that seems to have died out with the rise of the modern video game. Microgames were games published in paperback booklets. They often came with punch-out cardboard pieces that substituted for plastic pieces found in regular board games.
As advertised, Tyrannosaurus Rex puts players in the shoes of the time-traveling big game hunters out to bag dinosaurs. Scientific accuracy is the first thing to be thrown out the window as the game mixes dinosaurs from a variety of eras into the same setting.
Yep, and they do. I mean, you have Stegosaurus and Triceratops and T-Rexes and Brontosaurus or Apatosaurus, as it's really supposed to be called, I guess. All these things all mixed around, but, you know, it's a game. But anyway. So the dinosaurs are placed on the playing board in different locations depending on the scenario, and then the hunters start at locations randomly determined by the roll of a die. Players have 20 turns to kill as many of the dinosaurs as they can and return to their time machines or risk being stranded in the past. Now, that is if you're playing the campaign. They have a campaign mode where you can go from campaign to campaign to campaign. You can just run the 20 turns, which is basically the way I've played it most of the time. And you just, you know, tabulate up your points and so on. You can be done. You don't have to get back to the time machine. So that kind of changes things a little bit if you're not doing the campaign thing. You know, if you're doing that, you have to, because if a guy does, then he gets stuck and that dude loses. So what else we got here?
At its heart, this game is all about tables. Shoot a dinosaur, roll a die, and compare the result to a table to see what happens. Move into a new space, roll a die, and look up what happens on an event table.
Yep. And, you know, some people don't like this stuff. I don't know. This is just the way when I got into gaming, this is the way that it's always worked. So I don't have a problem with it. Some people, this may not appeal to them in some ways, but I don't know. There's some fun nostalgic appeal, you know, kind of looking that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so you start a turn, you roll a die to see if a volcano erupts. As you can see, there's a lot of dice rolling in Tyrannosaurus Rex. So if you like doing that, that's what I thought was kind of fun. In fact, at the start of every turn, you must roll a die for each and every dinosaur to determine what direction it moves. This is not a game for people with short attention spans who do not like repetitive action. Now, my counter to this is if you like a game where you're not going to sit around a lot, this one's great because everybody's doing something. Even with two people, super interactive because you can take turns and you go, okay, because there's a lot of dinosaurs. You got to roll and move them. And I really think that there's like some natural disaster thing that happens at the beginning of the turn, and it really throws some interesting twists into the game. And as you're moving around, your guy, you get to buy equipment for him if you want. And then they have these things that they shoot the dinosaurs with. And what they do is they put some kind of a device on it at the end of the game that you have to roll to see if it teleports it back to the future. And then those score points. So sometimes these things fail. But some of them you get only so many of these. So you can't kill tons of dinosaurs. But, you know, you can only move so far because you got terrain to deal with and then things happen to you. You know, if you piss the dinosaurs off and they start attacking you, like the T-Rexes tend to get really testy, you know, if you shoot at them and stuff. Some of the other ones don't really care. But some of these have a range where you can shoot the device at a range and hit them with it after they die. So you don't have to physically move your guy over there, your dinosaur hunter over there, and actually put it on him. And then some of them you actually have to move and put them on. So you have to decide how many of each of those you get. And then you can get rid of some of those, so you might not get him as many points. And then, of course, the scoring all comes down to what dinosaurs you bag. You know, they all earn different points. So some of them are worth more points than others. You know, some of the bigger ones, the T-Rexes and stuff like that, are worth a lot more points. But they're, of course, a lot harder to kill because they get pissed off at you when you start shooting at them.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, and if you get near them, they turn and attack. And then there's all kinds of weird random events, like you get attacked by these killer plants and all this kind of goofy stuff. I don't know. I think it's just kind of a fun game. My only downside to the game is that the rule book everything's was written at those times in this tiny, like, I'm not kidding you, like New Times Roman 0.8 font. You know, so you need a magnifying glass to read the rules, and it's all in alphabetical order. You know, the rules are, which is kind of odd, not really necessarily the way you play the game, but so it needs some work, and I think you could do some things. I mean, like when you go to buy the equipment, it would have been nice with all the tables they have in this game if they had a table with all the equipment that you could track it, because that's the other thing. There's some paperwork stuff involved, but you know, it's pretty easy. Get some of those plastic sheet protectors, you know, and the erasable markers, and put your stuff in there, because you have to track your health and, you know, the things you use and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, still kind of a fun game. I like stuff like that. I like stuff like that. I mean, like I said, there's not a lot of downtime in it. Even if you played with four people, everybody's doing stuff. You're not sitting around picking your nose in this game. You know, as cumbersome as the rules may be, you know, at least, you know, like they say about attention spans, but I think it actually holds people's attention much better, if you want my honest opinion. So anyway, it is, you can still get this. I know that it's still out there. I know I've seen it a few places. I have a copy of it that somebody actually gave me as a Christmas present a couple years ago, and I've gotten a chance to play it a couple times. I think it's really fun, actually. You know, like I said, it's a little bit of a – you better find somebody maybe that has it, hopefully, if you don't really want to wade your way through the rules. But I think that's something that needs to be done with that. They need to fix that. That might be the deterrent. But, I mean, everybody wants to come. I'd gladly play it with them and teach them how to do it. So anyway, anything else on that before we kind of roll on out of here?
I think we got it.
Okay, sounds good. All right, ladies and gents, so that, thanks for joining us, and stay tuned for our next show with more Game Talk beer and interviews. We will be get back to the interviews, and like I said, we probably won't do anything until after the year with the holidays rolling around, and I'm going to be out of town at one point here anyway. So, Morgan, where can people get a hold of us?
You can find us at boardgamesandbeerpodcast@gmail.com.
And on Twitter, we are at @BGBpodcast_game.
And our website is bgbpodcast.com.
And that is also the place where we will store our show note links. Our email and our Twitter also can be found there. We are also found on iTunes and Stitcher. So anything else you want to plug here before we roll on out of here, before the holidays come rolling at us here?
Just a reminder to go ahead and get your entry in on that little contest.
Yep.
You know, if you want to go back through and listen to all of the episodes and count up the actual number,
yep.
Great. If you want to just take a stab at it, great.
Yep, exactly. And we do have a number for that, so.
Mm-hmm. And it will include this episode, correct?
Yep, it sure is. Because, well, if you were listening earlier, you'd already know at least what it is.
Mm-hmm.
The bare minimum. The bare minimum. But it's not going to get you what you need, but at least it gives you a start. So, anyway, why don't we go ahead and roll on out of here? Morgan, what do you say?
Sounds good.
Okay. Anyway, folks, we will see everybody next year. I hope everybody has a good holiday. It's full of gaming, and same to you, Morgan. We'll be talking to you soon.
All righty. Y'all take care.
Okay.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, whatever you celebrate.
Exactly. See you, folks.